You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This is Hidden Killers Year in Review, a look back at the biggest stories of 2025. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Sometimes in high-profile trials, it isn't the DNA evidence or the ballistics that steal the headlines. It's the family drama. And if you've been following the Adelsons with us for any point of time, you're well aware of the family drama within the Adelsons. The stuff that plays out right in front of us in court filings, hearings, and emergency motions. And in the case of Donna Adelson, that family drama is becoming just as revealing as any piece of evidence. One of the biggest developments we've seen isn't about fingerprints or wiretaps. It's about her daughter. Donna's defense team actually tried to subpoena Wendy Adelson to testify on her mother's behalf. Okay, well, think about that for a second. A mother facing a potential life sentence, leaning on her own daughter as a defense witness. Keep in mind, it's the daughter whose husband was murdered. The risk that Wendy could incriminate herself. Her lawyers weren't going to let that happen. Keep in mind, Wendy's never been charged with anything. She so far has been free. Innocent. They fought back and the judge agreed Wendy will not be compelled to testify for Donna by Donna. On the surface, you can kind of, you know, write it off as a legal maneuver, but underneath it reveals something much bigger. This isn't a family standing together in unity anymore. This is a family fractured, each person acting in self-preservation. Wendy's not willing to risk herself, and jurors will see that absence, her silence, as loud as any testimony. At the same time, you've got her brother Charlie, already convicted, already serving life, and now reportedly planning to testify for mom. Jurors are going to notice that contrast. The daughter who walks away versus the son with nothing left to lose. Which carries more weight here? I don't know if I'm a juror. And that brings us to a deeper question about perception. When jurors look at Donna Adelson sitting at the defense table, do they see a woman with a family standing behind her, or do they see someone alone, abandoned, left with nothing, but a convicted son to vouch for her? That dynamic could be devastating. So let's get into it with psychotherapist Siobhan Scott, author of the book Nightbird. This is her memoir, just came out. Highly, highly recommend reading this. And also her other book, The Minds of Mass Murderers. Get it wherever you get books. Because this isn't just about law. It's about psychology, as all cases are. Loyalty and the moment when survival overtakes solidarity. Leave your comments in the comment section as we go through this on YouTube. Want to hear your thoughts. Siobhan, from your perspective, what does it say when a mother's defense team tries to use her daughter as a witness, even at the daughter's expense? Let's get into it.
Well, it's I'm sure a legal maneuver that probably makes sense in the minds of her attorneys. We at least hope so, that they had a plan for it. But it also speaks again of, as we've talked about, the kind of narcissistic enmeshed family system, where it's loyalty to mom at all costs, and it's just expected that the kids meet their parents' needs, and that would fit with what we've seen in the history.
Wendy's lawyers argued that testifying under a defense subpoena could, in fact, incriminate her. Wendy, as we all remember, has never been charged with anything. She is innocent, not even until proven guilty. Again, no charges there. So what does it reveal about how close she still might feel to the danger zone in this case, 11 years later, not wanting to get up there on the stand? I mean, is this just because she doesn't want to give prosecutors a chance to go after her, even though she doesn't know anything? And maybe she doesn't. I don't know, that she could slip up and they're going to find some words to twist. Versus being there for mom, because it feels like she's now leaning a lot more into her own territory of what's best for me and my kids, not necessarily what's good for the goose is good for the gander. I never thought I'd use that term in a sentence anymore.
I love it.
Yeah.
My guess is that her desire to not be incarcerated and separated from her children is at this point trumping the loyalty to mom, which is really a pretty healthy thing. You know, we talk about that process of individuation. So she's able at this point to separate herself from what her mother wants. And that's a healthy step in the right direction. And also, yeah, I would guess her counsel is going to do everything to keep her from having to testify for the defense in that way, setting herself up for potential charges.
We're hearing, as of our recording today, that Charlie is likely going to be testifying for his mother's defense. Essentially, it really wouldn't hurt anything for him. He'd just be saying the same things he's already said and the same things that he's bringing up on appeal. And it would be that, look, mom had nothing to do with this. She was completely clueless. Now, that may just be protecting mom. I don't know the answer to that. But we may see Charlie come out. I don't know that he has a whole lot to lose at this point by coming out and making that point. How do you think a jury is going to look at that, though? They're going to know Wendy exists. They're going to know Charlie exists. Obviously, Wendy has to exist. This is about the death of her ex-husband. And the fact that Wendy's not up there defending mom, but Charlie is. And those are the two that seem to be in cohorts about all of this. Is that making it look as if Donna is very guilty, that her daughter won't even come out and try to defend her mom?
Yeah, it's an interesting point. I don't know how a jury would take that. I can see it being something that they would ponder, but does it in their minds carry particular meaning? I guess it just depends on the jury and the people on it.
The fact that she is planning on taking the stand, and there's just been a lot of people saying this is a very, 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 very bad idea. Her legal counsel, they ultimately have to do what Donna wants to do. The fact that Donna is out there already saying, I want to take the stand. The trial hasn't even officially started as of our recording. By the time you're seeing this, we might actually be past opening statements. Right now, it's just getting the jury together. But the fact that she's really ready and waiting to raise her hand and get on that stand, what does that say about the psyche of Donna Adelson right now behind bars?
She really thinks that she has the power to influence the jury. And again, that goes with somebody who's a bit overconfident and is probably not in the right mind to, you know, make these decisions. As I've speculated with you privately, we may be looking at a little bit of age-related cognitive impairment. Mm-hmm. Her judgment may not be the best at this point. But somebody who's, let's say, overconfident about their ability to tell a story and convince people, which is very likely to do her any, unlikely to do her any good.
Which is what it feels like. And let me ask you about that, because I don't know if Donna is starting to suffer from any of that. That would just be pure speculation. She's getting up there in age. It certainly wouldn't be a shocking thing to find that out. It wouldn't be a bad defense, Donna, if you'd like to attempt it. But we've talked about the immediate impact of all of that. And the fact that this family is the way it is, as someone does get older, as someone does enter into some cognitive decline, does boldness come out more in a personality like Donna? Donna seems to be one, if I were to guess, you know, pretty much was the one who always had the answers, and it was Donna's way or no way. That's my conjecture on it, from very likely a extremely narcissistic mother. That's how I view her. And I think a lot of others might as well. As they get older, does it get better or worse? Is this someone who would be more ingrained now today to say, I want to go testify, if in fact her faculties are starting to get a little rough, versus maybe Donna 15 years ago?
Yeah. When we see people age, if they go into cognitive decline or Alzheimer's or you know, any of that, the older people, they get whatever their personalities were like, it tends to intensify because they gain or they lose inhibition. Mm-hmm. And so if you have somebody who's always been somewhat narcissistic, dominating, outspoken, they can intensify with that. If you have someone who's always been benevolent and kind and giving, you see more of that happening because they just, you know, whatever's been in there, it manifests in a more intense way, which means you can find lovely, sweet older people, or you can find really angry, hostile, venomous older people. And maybe when they were younger, they could curtail that.
It feels like it's that or the other quite often.
It does, doesn't it?
It really does. It's like reducing down a sauce for the cooking folks out there.
Good analogy.
You reduce it down, the flavors get intense. You eventually get to a demi-glace where it's just that super thick and it's intense, but it's nothing like it was when it was a big boiling pot a couple hours earlier. Mm-hmm. That's what you're left with, and you're getting the true flavor of what that person is, and I guess that may be what we're seeing here with Donna Adelson. The family was once a fortress, money, privilege, tight bonds, and now piece by piece, that fortress crumbling. Charlie's in prison for life. Donna's on trial. Wendy trying to distance herself, and the grandchildren are caught in the middle. Feels like the entire family has shifted into survival mode. And let's explore that for a little bit. When you have this family, this image-driven family like the Adelsons, and they usually cope in the public spotlight with their fractures and by coming together. We saw it after Charlie's conviction. They and then on record recordings talking about their us problem. What do you think is going on here psychologically behind the scenes with Wendy and her kids, with Charlie, with Harvey, who was also on that one-way ticket on that westbound flight that was never going to be coming back? How do you think things are going behind the scenes for the Adelsons now that things are starting to crumble? How do you think they're coping?
It's got to be tremendously confusing to live in this world where you've had this cohesive family, this enmeshed family with mom in control, and to just have it start to fracture like this. So my guess is each one of them is coping in their own way. Who knows what kind of therapy they're all getting, if any, but it would not surprise me that there's a tremendous amount of anxiety and depression and, you know, other kinds of problems. Nobody's probably sleeping very well.
And that right there, that's where this trial is already starting to look less like a unified front and more like a survival game. Wendy Adelson isn't walking into that courtroom to defend her mom. She's drawing a hard line and prioritizing her own freedom and her children's future. That's not disloyalty, that is survival. And it's a dramatic shift from the family dynamic we've all heard described over the years, where loyalty to the matriarch was expected at all costs. Kids be damned, ex-husband be damned, Charlie be damned, anybody be damned. At least that's what the state's trying to say about Donna Adelson. Meanwhile, Charlie Adelson, convicted at and locked away, is still playing the role of loyal son. Because the difference is, he's nothing to lose. His testimony might technically help Donna, but will jurors buy it? Probably not. They're smart enough to see the imbalance, that the daughter's silence is more telling than the son's loyalty, but it's a courtroom, it's jurors, and you never know what's going to happen. And for Donna Adelson, that imbalance could be crushing, because when jurors look across the room and realize the daughter's not standing up for her, the image is unmistakable. A fractured family, a matriarch without her children's full support. That's not just optics, that's psychology, and it matters. So where does that leave us? With a family that once presented as a fortress, now exposed as meek and fragile, Donna-like. With a daughter choosing distance, a son clinging to loyalty, and a mother sitting in the middle, watching her carefully built empire collapse around her. Coming up in our conversation, which you need to press subscribe so you don't miss it, we're going to be shifting the lens directly onto Donna herself. Because if Wendy's silence tells us one story, Donna's own voice may tell us another. She's insisting on taking the stand, and against the advice of just about everyone. What does that say about her mindset? And what does it reveal about denial, confidence, and control when the stakes are life and death? That is coming up next on the channel. So be sure to press subscribe so you do not miss that conversation with Siobhan Scott. Wherever you are on YouTube, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Press subscribe on the podcast platforms wherever you are. Do that same search and press subscribe. We got a lot coming up on this case, and we're bringing it to you every single day, live courtroom coverage as it starts coming out. We'll have it for you right here so you can follow this case beat by beat. Let me know your thoughts in the comment section as well. I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Donna Adelson, the trial is about to start. Jury selection is getting underway, and we're going to see quite a show. And we're bringing you the trial every single day right here at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. So be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of that. And of course, our commentary, our breaking down of the case. We're going to be doing a lot of that in the coming weeks. Eric Faddis, defense attorney, former prosecutor, going to be joining us for much of that. Eric, well, before even opening statements have begun, let's start by focusing on Donna Adelson's defense strategy here, especially the startling possibility that she might take the stand in her own defense. It's been reported that Donna, 73-year-old matriarch, now facing charges of first-degree murder, conspiracy, and solicitation, is very strongly considering testifying at trial. It's an unusual and risky move. Few defendants in major murder cases choose to testify since it opens them up to brutal cross-examinations. Yet, Donna, she appears willing to roll the dice, perhaps believing she can charm or out-talk the jury and regain control of the narrative. So, yeah. What the hell do you make? I want to start with this, and then we'll go into the greater legal scheme of what they're planning here. Even before a word has been said, she's talking about taking the stand. This is usually a last-ditch maneuver, isn't it?
Totally is. It's uncommon from defense to kind of show their hand pre-trial, because what it does is it allows the prosecutor to prepare for the likelihood that the defense going to testify, to get sort of an ironclad cross-examination ready to go. Got your exhibits queued up. You got your jail calls ready to impeach this person. And so I don't know if it's a bluff, but I just don't see much benefit to tipping off the other side as to what you might do in terms of a real big move in your defense case in chief.
Obviously, this is all speculation. She's innocent until proven guilty. Everything's alleged. What the hell do you think her defense attorney is saying? She's gone through a few of them now. Obviously, that's been an issue. That's been part of the thing, delaying the trial multiple times. The hell's going on there? How do you think those conversations are going?
I think it's peculiar that there was this kind of a public disclosure that she might testify. And if I was her attorney, I don't play it that way. I play things close to the vest because defense is allowed to do that. I'm not going to give you any kind of notice except for what's legally required in terms of what I'm going to come at you with. And so, the fact that they've done that is kind of strange. I wonder if it was at Donna's behest to be so public about this, because it would seem counterintuitive for an attorney to want to publicly disclose this huge move. And can't help but wonder if there's some sort of dissension in the ranks on the defense side.
Like, as in, like, let's get her convicted. Like, she's a horrible client. I mean, obviously, you can't do that, or you shouldn't do that. I mean, you can't. I mean, legally, that would be violating, you know. And in no way would I say you've ever done that, but have you ever seen that happen? Have you ever heard of that happening, where someone just has a client? Let's say Donna Adelson is extremely difficult, because I'm guessing she probably is. Let's say we're going to do it this way. No, I'm going to testify. I'm going to testify. No matter how much you're saying this is not a good idea, Donna, at some point you just have to go, okay, whatever the hell you want, Donna, go for it.
You know, at some point on some particular decisions for a trial, you do. You have to defer to the client, even if you think it's the worst decision in the world. And one of those decisions is the right to testify. That's right up there with the right to go to trial as opposed to take any kind of offer. There are a number of critical determinations that are vested in the client only. And yet the defense attorney can plead at length with these clients to not do these things. And sometimes the clients do it anyway. And I've certainly seen that happen countless times. And you kind of can, you know, read between the lines and see the expression on the defense attorney's face and know that it wasn't their choice.
Let's assume Donna testifies. Let's take a wild guess that it goes horribly, just as good as Charlie's did. So horribly. Does someone like Donna at the end of the day look back to her attorneys and go, I should have listened to you? Or does someone like Donna at the end of the day go, I knocked that out of the park?
I've seen it play out both ways. I've seen folks who are so audacious, so detached from reality, who think they're just untouchable. And, you know, they think something went great while the jury is like, you know, puking in the back based on what the person said. On the other hand, you know, sometimes they do realize after a while that, oh, I made the wrong call here. And this person, you know, went to law school and has a doctorate degree and has been doing this for years. And you know, maybe I should listen. Those folks.
Oh, coulda, shoulda, woulda, right, Donna? Oh, listening to people who are wiser than you. But the thing is, with people like Donna, there is no one wiser than Donna, at least I think in Donna's mind. That'd be my conjecture on Donna. But if you are her counsel, if you're sitting there and you know she's going to testify no matter what, it's her right to, She ain't backing down. You want to win the case at the end of the day. You want to do your job as best as you can for your client. Even, you know, if she looks guilty as sin, you're still, that's why we have defense attorneys. The hell are you telling her? How are you coaching her? How are you preparing her to take that stand, even though this is a horrible, horrible decision?
One thing you need to do is you need to limit the scope of her testimony. You don't want her up there talking about everything under the sun, you know, her background and the family dynamics and everything else. You want her to get up there and get out what she is insisting on getting out in terms of material evidence helpful for the defense, and then shut it down. You know, because what happens is the prosecutor can only ask about things that are within the scope of the defendant's testimony. And so if you keep that scope narrow, you limit the possible exposure, the possible risk during cross-examination.
But there's a lot here that's going to come out. There's a lot that's going to be a part of this case. There's not a lot of limiting that they're going to be able to do at the end of the day, because some of these are just key tenets of the case. I mean, if we're talking about all the checks that she signed being written to Catherine McBona, the buddy of the hitman, the former girlfriend of her son who's away for murder. How much of the jury, or how much of that will the jury get to hear? Will they understand the full context of who Catherine McBona is? I would think they would, but I know there's sometimes rules and things like that. Well, we can say this, but we can't give that context of it. Where are these lines drawn in a case like this when it comes to cross-examination of Donna Adelson? And where are they not? I mean, how free game are they going to have to go at her? And what do you expect the prosecution to throw at her when they get her on cross?
The judge has a lot of discretion when it comes to evidentiary rules and what is allowed into evidence, what questions can be asked and what questions cannot. There are these rules of evidence that operate as rules, and, you know, some judges see them as guidelines. And then the judge kind of has the discretion to say, hey, I think it's fair to ask about that. You go ahead and ask her. And so I think they're going to ask her certainly about the paper trail, about the financial transactions, about what, according to the prosecution, is Donna Adelson cutting these checks from the Adelson business to a murderous co-conspirator who is now in prison for murder. And you know, how is she going to explain that stuff away? What would be the possible explanation for why she was cutting checks to this person from the Adelson business who didn't work for the Adelson business but happened to be an intermediary in the murder-for-hire plot for which she is on trial? How's she going to answer that?
Well, yeah, how are you going to answer that? How is she also going to answer the phone calls, the conversations with Charlie? Because those are big deals. And the language she used in those calls are big deals. It's an us problem. It's not a you problem. It's not a me. It's an us problem. She used that term quite a bit in those conversations. And usually the first call that is made anytime something happened or some event or some information came into Donna about the case, her first call is to Charlie. And then if you look at the phone logs, Charlie's first call is over to Catherine and so forth. I mean, it all connects very, very closely. And the fact that she also openly, I don't want to say made admissions, because she didn't technically make admissions in the calls, but there was a lot of hinting. There was a lot of code words, I mean, which are pretty poor code words. All that's going to be played for a jury. And again, Donna's going to have to try and answer for all of this on the stand. If she just sat there and shut up and didn't go on the stand, she wouldn't have to, in herself, verbally go, what's up with that? But now she's going to, if she's going to take the stand. How is she going to explain these things?
You know, if I am her defense counsel, the way that I would approach it is essentially characterizing it as, you know, someone who is a protected and perhaps or protective and perhaps over-involved mother is not necessarily the same person who is involved in a murder-for-hire plot. You know, I think they're going to have to style it as, hey, she was being attentive to her son and also to this sort of family dispute that was going on with Wendy Adelson. And simply wanting to protect the son and being involved in the conversations, being apprised of what's going on, isn't necessarily the same as enlisting someone to kill somebody else. I think that's the horse they're going to have to ride. We'll see if the jury buys it.
That she's just completely aloof, basically. Donna's just aloof. You also have...
Yeah, and protective as a mother. And
How do you think the jury's going to take the Vietnam getaway? I know some of the verbiage that she said on this. Well, me and Harvey went there a long time ago, which I don't even know if that's true, if she went there a long time ago, but she claims that they did. I'm sure that could be found out. And we just wanted to go and get away because it was so much stress. And it's if you just take a step back and not go, you're clearly guilty, Donna. If you just take a step back and go, well, shit, like if I found out my son had conspired to kill the ex-husband of his sister to make me happy so the kids could come live with us, but I had nothing to do with this, that would be very frustrating because everybody's going to be looking at you like you had something to do with it. It would be a headache. It would be more than a headache. It'd be hell. I could see wanting to get out of Dodge and wanting to go somewhere far away where I'm not going to be recognized just for my own sanity. So on that argument, I mean, it doesn't seem that crazy, but the fact that it's a one-way ticket, that's like, you should have got a return flight. Never got on the flight, but then at least it looks like it's a vacation. Because right now it just looks like you're fleeing the country. Is that an oversight on Donna's part?
Oh, absolutely. And I think there is some traction to the possible explanation that, hey, she was just so overwhelmed with this horrible family drama. She needed a breather and, gosh, let's go to a country far away and try to forget about this. But yeah, the one-way ticket isn't great. The fact that Vietnam is a country that doesn't extradite to the U.S. typically isn't great. You know, most countries do. And so the country she picked, the fact that it's a one-way ticket, the timing of her attempt to skedaddle is really going to, according to the prosecution, show consciousness of guilt. And what consciousness of guilt do you have if you were just being a protective mother who had no involvement in the murder for hire plot?
Poor Donna. She's so misunderstood. She's so prosecuted. She's just trying to skedaddle away, and they had to interrupt her trip. Yeah. Let's talk about the prosecution of Donna Adelson, now that we've kind of gone through her defense strategies here, which don't seem to be great. As a prosecutor, is this an easy one? Is this an easy one to go after because there's a lot of stuff here? Or what sort of strategy would you employ going at Donna? It's not Charlie. It's Donna this round. What would you be introducing here as you bring in opening statements?
You know, I don't think it is an overwhelmingly strong case. I think there is a good amount of circumstantial evidence. There's a good amount of reasonable inferences that one can draw from, like you said, the jail calls, the verbiage used, that kind of thing. I think you look at the hard evidence you have, which are these payments. That is just inexplicable. I haven't heard any innocent explanation for why Donna Adelson would pay from the family business this intermediary in a murder for hire plot. And then you also look at her motivation. She was very involved in this custody dispute there was actually a motion filed against her in the custody dispute regarding her ability to have unsupervised visitation with the grandchildren. You know, so she had a motive. She had a reason. It's not just, someone who's incidentally, connected in that way. And so you look at motive, you look at the financial transactions that are really hard to explain. You couple that with the jail calls although they use coded language, you know, she talks about like using a TV as code word, perhaps, for some nefarious activity. You look at how many times she uses TV in those jail calls. You connect the dots for the jury and you say, hey, here, this is enough. You guys get it.
I want to talk about another piece of evidence here that we haven't touched on yet. And it's not, you know, it's not a murder weapon. It's not a check written to a killer's friend. It's none of that. It's a bribe that she attempted to throw out there. $1 million. And the whole family was going to pool together. their cash and get $1 million and offer it. They did offer it to Dan Markell. Hey, you let the kids move down here, we're going to give you $1 million. You know, for your time and inconvenience, which, you know, asking someone to abandon their children, essentially, or I mean, or it can be looked at as, look, we know this is not something you want to do. Here's $1 million. Maybe you move down here, too. But I mean, it can look very nefarious. It can look very reasonable or generous, even in some ways of, we know this is a horrible inconvenience. This sucks. Not everybody's going to offer $1 million in a custody dispute to have the other parent give up rights. Most people don't have the means to do something like that. How do you think that's going to play to the jury? Because I could see it being spun, you know, both ways with variable success.
Oh, sure. I think there are multiple interpretations of it. You know, I think the prosecution will likely be able to strongly argue how invested Donna Adelson was in this entire dispute, the lengths to which she would be willing to go, $1 million, that's a ton of money to just try to resolve some kind of family law case. So she is in this. This matters to her. And if she's willing to go to that length, are there other extreme lengths to which she's willing to go in order to get the outcome she wants? And then, you know, lo and behold, Dan Markell is killed. And now she does have the outcome she wants temporarily. And so, you know, you can kind of connect the dots between those states of affairs.
How damning is it that Charlie was convicted? We're going into this, obviously, this Charlie was the first one that went down, other than the hitman and McBonna. So actually, Charlie wasn't the first one. The first of the Adelsons to go down. So you already had the two dominoes that fell. Then Charlie fell. This is the next one in the line of dominoes, really. When you have three people who are now already incarcerated for this murder, is it easier then to pull a fourth person in to show, see, this is obviously already going on. This seems to make a lot of sense. It's not a single case on its own where you have to show that all of these things were in motion. That's already been proven.
There is certainly a sort of guilt by association type of feel to it. You know, you're so close with these other people who are convicted in this murder for hire plot, and your involvement seems significant. On the other hand, I think it gives the defense a possible argument that they can make to this jury, like, hey, look, you guys have your pound of flesh. There are four people in prison for decades for this, and those are the four people who are most involved. You know, did this grandma get caught up in some form or fashion in an unfortunate circumstance with this custody battle and this tragedy that happened? Perhaps. But I think they're going to style her as kind of a sympathetic old lady, or try to, and say that, hey, you guys have your pound of flesh. You don't need another, you know, 70-year-old in a box for the rest of her life.
Do you think we're going to see a different Donna Adelson at the trial than we've seen in these pretrial hearings? The one that's whining about, you know, not having a thick enough mattress in jail, and, oh my gosh, my earwax is piling up and I can't hear. What? Are we going to see that Donna, or are we going to see frail Donna, confused Donna? Maybe Donna in a wheelchair. That would be a neat little touch.
Yeah.
That I think would, if you're the defense attorney, I think I might be going down that road. Or is that just kind of, you know, playing it up a little too much?
You don't want to overdo it. And you want to be truthful, of course, about what you're presenting. But that being said, I think we might see kind of a Robert Durst approach here. Robert Durst was on trial for murder, and he was in age, and he, you know, had a catheter in and in a wheelchair, could barely move, could barely talk. And I wouldn't be surprised if that is how Adelson presents while she is in court.
What if they tried to make her look like Robert Durst? Like, literally tried to make her look like it was Halloween. Donna Adelson is Robert Durst for Halloween. Help her, Donna.
Scary trial, not, yeah.
Do you think, you know, is Donna the last of the dominoes to fall here? After this thing is done, is Harvey going to get hit? Is Wendy going to get hit? Or have they reached their conclusion?
You know, my apprehension was that they would have tried to rope in these folks earlier, including Donna. I'm surprised that she sort of is facing this at this stage. I thought they would try to bundle these things together. Wendy, to my knowledge, has not been charged. Harvey has not been charged, although he was going on the Vietnam trip for a one-way ticket to a non-extraditable country. So that's suspicious. That being said, haven't heard charges against them. You know, what could evidence at this trial change the game and result in more folks being implicated? It could.
That's what I'm wondering, is every single trial, the more discovery that's made, the more they're like, oh, look what we have here. But we can't necessarily charge you yet because we don't want this to come out into the public until this happens. And it's just a pick them off. I don't know. The world will see in the coming months. Eric Faddis, defense attorney, former prosecutor, as always, thank you so much for your insight in this and the many cases that we are covering right here.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago, yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. Social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.